Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, your journey into personal growth. The splendor of any decision is after you've made it. All that remains to be seen are its consequences. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. Here at Threads of Enlightenment, we talk about the principles of self-development and personal growth. By having conversation with people who have walked through their journey of personal growth. We believe that everyone at some point in their life will have to deal with one or more of these principles to have the privilege of focusing on their self-development as humans. These principles, when applied, can help you to become the best self possible. Welcome to another episode of Threads of Enlightenment. As usual, we welcome our guests to the show and we turn it over to them. Branch is here today and we're going to turn it over to them so that they can introduce themselves, tell us everything that they have created to this day, and then you and I will go back and grab his attention and walk him back to his present day so that we can learn from him all of the insight that he gained in his journey so that you and I could become better human spirits. Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, Branch. Welcome.
Thank you, Ken. It's a great honor to be here with you.
Oh, thank you, sir. So tell us about your beautiful world that you have created today and how people can get to you, what tools that you have created since you have been out of your journey. I call it, we began to cook a dish so that we can then feed people. So tell us what you have cooked so that we can move from there.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks so much. I'm an author. I've written 22 books, both fiction and nonfiction. I write for the secular market and I write for the Christian market, the seekers and searchers of, you know, the path of enlightenment for them in their lives.
Yes.
I'm available. I've got a website, a YouTube channel. We post lots of different selections and writings for people to spend some time with. Most of my work is pretty brief, pretty concise. So in just a couple of minutes, you can sit and read a story. All of the stories have an underlying theme to them. We're dealing with emotions and, you know, the things that we choose to do in our lives have consequences.
Yep. So
all of my writing and all of my stories is based on that, that connection between choice and consequence. People can just Google my name. All my links come up, or they can just go straight to the website again through my name or the YouTube channel. So it's real easy to find.
That's awesome. I have this saying that I had written in my book. The beautiful thing about decisions is once you have made your decision, the only thing that remains are the consequences. And so I taught my kids that you have to be very mindful of the decisions that you're making because they will affect your life, whether it's instantaneously, whether it manifests in about a day, 3 days, whatever it is, they will manifest. And some of the decision making that we make will create what Christians call an Ishmael that will stay there for years. So welcome. And so I want to take you back, Branch. This is what we do here at Threads of Enlightenment. I want to take you back to when you were a young man, you were living with your family. I believe that this is where we began to be formed in our thought process. And from this lifestyle and from this living with our family, we then began to look to the world and people through those programmings. Talk to us about your childhood a little.
Sure. I grew up actually in a military family. My father was career military. So all of my formative years were in that kind of a situation. We traveled quite a bit. I lived in lots of different places. Mm-hmm. I was blessed that in those formative years, I lived overseas and was able to travel. So I got exposure to a lot of different kinds of cultures and different kinds of people. Of course, that colored my attitudes and beliefs and perceptions in a sort of a different way than perhaps the average American child. But I was able to incorporate that in my family experience. Mm-hmm. We had lots of children, so there was not a lot of attention per se. I was the firstborn. Mm-hmm. And as my siblings came along, they got the attention. So early on, I was kind of on my own.
Yeah.
Like, say, my family traveled a lot, so that had a big influence. I went to high school in California, college in Texas, and then got into the career, you know, world and assimilated easily and quickly into the corporate ladder situation.
Yeah.
And so that was my path, and I was embracing the ways of the world and was reveling in all of those kinds of motivation, possessions, and acquirement, living the American dream, so to speak.
Yeah, it's beautiful that you had the exposure to different cultures when you're young. I cannot stress the importance of that, how and what it does to the human psyche in how one thinks and behaves. We become more accepting, more tolerable, more open to ideas and differences. And it is a beautiful thing to be in a situation like that. I know I grew up in a family. I'm a firstborn as well. And I know the aspect of I had five siblings, and we did the same as far as moving and traveling. And so I get that, and it really does open your mind. So you went into corporate America. What field did you go into corporate America, and why?
Well, I started my career out of college as a teacher, as a high school and middle school teacher. And then I was a middle school administrator. And I had an opportunity at that point to leave education. And I went to work for one of the large publishing houses who published textbooks. Mm-hmm. So I went from, you know, classroom teaching to selling teachers' textbooks. And
big jump.
That was my entree into the corporate world and into sales.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I said, that's a big jump.
Oh, yeah. Big jump. Yeah. It was definitely different. And so that's how I spent my, you know, first career days and years was in that publishing arena, selling textbooks to teachers.
Wow. You went left into the calm steadiness of things and jumped into the fire in sales. Sales is an interesting beast when you have to deal with corporate America in production as far as your numbers. It's an interesting lifestyle. The stress level is wonderful. I am very familiar with
that. Well, it's an interesting situation, you know, that I jumped into because I was living and teaching and obviously working in the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. And Texas is the largest textbook purchaser in the world.
Wow.
They provide every textbook for every child in public school from K through 12. So talk about competitive. Mm-hmm. When there was a, you know, a call for a particular subject matter like English or reading or math, all of the publishers got involved in that competition. And the process was everyone could submit their materials. Mm-hmm. And then there was a committee that would cull down that number to five. Mm-hmm. And then those five companies had the opportunity to sell to the schools in the state, and then each district or school area in the state would select the program that they wanted for their children.
Wow.
So it was a year-long process, and it was competitive every day. It was because there was so much money, you know, at stake for all of these companies.
Yeah.
They rolled out all the things that they needed to do or could give in order to make that list. and then have that opportunity to sell to the individual district. So it was big corporate money and lots of competition. So it was an interesting place to cut my sales teeth, you know, early on as my first career. Corporate career.
And how did that...
You learn a lot real quick.
How did you learn develop as an individual within that high-pressured... how did your personality begin to form? What type of things did you see your strengths and your weakness with?
Wow, great question. I was very much an extrovert, you know, in my younger life. I took on every challenge that came along as if it were a challenge and not a test.
Yeah.
So I was pretty immune to the pressure end of it, looking for the solution end of it. Mm-hmm. And so I was part of a team. You know, I had an individual territory, but I was part of a team in the region. And so I had immediate support from my team members. These were all men who had been in the business, you know, longer than I. So they'd been through the wars.
Yeah.
And so it was very easy to pick up on what the process was, how it operated, and the tricks of the trade, so to speak. So in that way, you know, I had mentors, which really helped. But the better that I was able to do also benefited them. So it was a real teamwork kind of an effort. And that helped, you know, as an entry point into the sales world.
Yeah.
I wasn't on my own, like making cold calls. So that allowed me to, you know, integrate and meld quickly and sort of learn the process and be a team member as opposed to being, you know, a sales rep that was out there on my own.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you, how long were you in this aspect of your life before you began maybe to get restless and moved on? How long was that?
15 years.
15?
I was actually with a couple of different companies, you know, as a sales rep and then as a manager, but 15 years in the publishing field. And then I moved on from there. It was a little more corporate than I was comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I learned during those years some of the darker sides and a little bit of the underbelly of corporate America. And I had a conflict with that. So I couldn't go down that path any longer. It was the illusion became reality, and I saw what was happening, and it wasn't for me. I couldn't operate that way.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. People that have a conscience are required in corporate America to kill it. And I'll give you a story. I was being trained when I was a younger man to. I did, my background was managed healthcare. I worked for HMOs, and we would write policies and procedures to help them get their accreditations and stuff like that back in the day in the state of Florida. And I was working for a company that was training me up to become the CEO. They were grooming me. And we had a situation where we had to go to the hospital. I had to go to the hospital to see that this man, why was he there? And he was there because he got shot. And I reported to them that he got shot. And the classification that they wanted me to classify this incident with was not a gunshot wound. And I told him, I said, I don't know whatever other classification that is out there that can classify a gunshot wound, but a gunshot wound, but they wanted me to do it and I refused. And I told them, I said, I'm not a medical person to make this diagnosis. I need my medical director to do that. But they wanted me to do it. And I told them no. They actually had me come to a meeting in Washington several days after that. And I was told that I needed, they said, Primus. They would call me Primus. They said, Primus, you know what your problem is? I'm like, no. They said, you need to die. And I said, I don't know how to do that. And what are you talking about? They said, that part of you. And and they actually said this to me, that part of you that is that, you know, it, you need to kill it. And I told them, I said, I don't know how to do that. And that's the price that you have to pay in some of those areas to get, as you said, to climb the ladder. You have to, there's a point will come where you have to, your training and however you were brought up will come face to face with a decision like what you had to do and what I had to do. And we go, we make our life based on that decision. I believe that's our crossroad that we, many of us will have to visit sometime. But that was,
definitely,
that was,
definitely
that was my story, man. It was horrific. I actually resigned after that. I told them, I said, I can't do this. And I left shortly after that. And, parted with that company and left. But I do understand how that is. So talk to me after you've had that confrontation and you left. And how did you move forward from that incident?
Yeah. Well, you know, we make that break. And so when you no longer have that pressure, then you have an opportunity to actually sit and reflect.
Yes.
Okay, I've made this choice. So now what? Mm-hmm. And who am I? And because I had been tainted against my core, you know, I had gone in sort of wide-eyed and bushy-tailed and thinking about all the ways, you know, to make it a career. Having had that sort of destroyed, it left me in a lurch. And I thought, okay, I don't want to live my life that way. So what I need to do is search for truth.
Yeah.
And I made a vow to myself that in every interaction that I had, I would come from the truth, you know, as I saw it. And that led me into about 5 years of study, but I was studying a lot of the Eastern philosophies and Eastern religions. Mm-hmm. And I had been raised as a child, as a Christian, but we were sort of C and E Christians, you know, Christmas and Easter. We weren't practicing and we didn't attend church regularly, but my parents, you know, claimed to be Christians.
So
I had that background, but it wasn't anything that had blossomed for me. So in that time, I thought, well, I know about Christianity a little bit, but I want to discover, you know, these other paths. I want to see what they have to offer. So I spent several years studying and reading and that kind of thing. And then I had sort of an epiphany and a calling, and it shook me to my core. And when it happened, I was confused, but I had experienced receiving the Holy Spirit. So that sort of, you know, jolted me on the path. And so I thought, okay, well, I need to be pursuing Christianity again and make that more part of my life. And during these times, I was actually not really employed. I did a lot of pickup work. I was a ski instructor, and I sold cars for a while. And I was just going from job to job, trying to make a living. But my focus was, you know, elsewhere. My focus was on how can I be more of who I think I want to be in my world and with the people that I come in contact with. So that got me back onto the spiritual path. And that lasted actually for about 10 years. And I struggled. You know, I was on the path, but I was being pushed and pulled and thrown off the path by the ways of the world. You know, I was in that struggle that everyone who's searching and seeking has. I'm part of this world, but my heart and my being is striking me to, you know, question this world. So I had the normal kinds of spiritual struggle in, but I was on that path for about 10 years. And had a life-changing experience and a name-changing experience. And at the end of the 10 years, I actually found myself sort of back at square one. Hmm. And from that point on, I had made a commitment to stay on this new path no matter what. And so that's what has been my path, you know, for the last 25 years.
Wow. So on this, when you began to open yourself to the questions and the world of, I believe, the questionings of religion and spirituality, when you began to have that conversation within yourself as you studied both Eastern and Christianity, what you mentioned a situation where you had an encounter with the Holy Spirit that caused you to veer towards Christianity and began to question. I know all of us, folks that are listening, they've heard me said this before. And this is how I had to learn, Branch, because I hear from Christians as well that I listen to and talk to, and people that are struggling like you and I did about wanting to follow this spiritual path, but we're struggling with the flesh. And I try to explain to them, it's you have two kingdoms at work. The Bible calls it one, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. And they govern by different principles. When you come into the kingdom of God, it says we are translated from one into the other. And being new citizens in this new kingdom, we tend to rely on the old, the laws by which we are familiar with from the kingdom that we were brought out of. And those two never work together. And so that's why it says, seek ye first the kingdom and of God and his righteousness. The kingdom meaning you got to seek God about those principles that are now going to govern your behavior and his righteousness. And that is basically faith. And so you have to learn how to love your enemies in this kingdom. And in the other kingdom, you know, it's an eye for an eye kind of law. So and then you find yourself, years go by where you're trying to balance yourself. So you said after you've learned, you came out and you had an experience, and now you're set on the kingdom, that principle that you're walking. How has that changed you as an individual human spirit on this planet?
Wow. As you were speaking, I reflected on something, and I hadn't thought about it before you said it. When we make that commitment and we invite Christ into our lives and his spirit comes to dwell with us, not only do we begin to see ourselves for who we were in our old life, mm-hmm. in our old pattern behaviors, but you know who we want to be. And that spark of acknowledgement allows us to realize, you know, who we've been, mm-hmm. and what the world has done to us, how it sucks the life out of us, you know, to make it one of its own. And when we are able to see the new me, it allows us to also see people who we come in contact with for who they are.
Yeah.
You know, I run into a lot of people who are struggling in the world, but because the light of Christ lives within me, you sort of see through the facade, mm-hmm. that they're presenting to the world and all the reasons that they're using, you know, for themselves, to bolster themselves, to support themselves. But down deep inside, each of us has that connection with God. For some of us, it's alive and operational. For a lot of people, it's there, but it's not, you know, it's not hitting on all the cylinders. Mm-hmm. And so when you see people who are in that struggle, it's easy to see the essence of who they are in that struggle that mm-hmm. they're having.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can look beyond the world person who they're presenting and see the struggling soul inside. So it's a real enlightenment to be able to look beyond, you know, their behavior and see that they are struggling. It's like forgiveness, you know. The only way we can forgive is if we understand that the harm that the person has been perpetrating is because it's all they know and it's just who they are.
It's not
the essence of who they are. Yeah. It's their worldly self exposing itself.
Yes,
it's so, you know, when you don't have a relationship with Christ, it's hard to see that deeper level. It's hard to see beyond the world's presentation because you're of the world, and that's what you identify with.
And so that's the key, is that they can behave only a certain way because they have been programmed that way. And when you are now translated into the other kingdom, you're beginning to become unprogrammed and become programmed with the principles of this new kingdom. And you are now a citizen. The Bible calls us citizens of this new kingdom. And so the conflict is basically that dance between what the Bible describes as the flesh and the spirit. And so it tells us that we walk in the spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so the governing force that guides the kingdom of darkness is that of the power of the flesh. And the governing force by which this new kingdom is a part that we ought to be governed by is the spirit man, the spirit of the man becoming the head within the individual, because we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live a body. And that is basically it, the restoration of that spirit in charge when it becomes born again. But then, you know, we have to go through all of the different aspects of growing up. The Bible says to grow up as children, you know, in God. So here you are, you've had this experience now, Branch. How in the world did this cause, how did you become an author? How did you now, you're dealing with all of these things and you had this encounter with the Holy Spirit, you're now living a life guided by Him, and you are, what happened? How did you become an author?
Well, I was working on my master's degree. I was compelled to go back to school. Mm-hmm. I have a bachelor's in education, and I have did postgraduate work in education administration. But several years later, you know, this is sort of a new lifetime, I decided I needed to go back to school to learn more about theology. Mm-hmm. So I was enrolled, you know, in courses and doing my master's in theology. And I went to my wife one day and I said, I'm being compelled to write this book. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, it was the Lord moving in my life. And I just had this compulsion that I needed to write this book. So that's how it started. I hadn't had any authorship or writing, you know, formal in my background. I had done a lot of writing in the publishing sales arena for, you know, sales presentations and technical comparative work, those kind of things. So I had done some writing, but I had never done creative writing or, you know, sit down and write a book. So I was compelled to do it. And luckily for me, my wife, you know, was able to take up the mantle of us surviving and making a living. And so I had the time then to write the book. And my first book is actually, it's a nonfiction and it's a comparative study of today's religions. It's, you know, I had that study background on Eastern and mysticism and philosophy from the East. Yeah. So the book is actually a layman's comparative study of all of the world's religions, or the active world's religions. Mm-hmm. And what I did was, the content is basically for the person who is seeking or searching a spiritual path. You know, if you ask them, if someone says, well, I want to be a Buddhist, and you say, well, okay, tell me why. And most of the time, they only have a couple of responses. They really don't know about Buddhism as a religion, mm-hmm. but they have enough to dabble their their beak and get a taste.
Yeah.
So the book is basically this comparative study of the world's religions. I'm not trying to convert or coerce or cajole somebody into believing something. But at the end, at the end of the book, they've been exposed enough and learned enough about the different religions that hopefully they can make a more informative choice of which path might be for them. And that was my first book. And I was happy with it, and I've been happy with it ever since. It gets a lot of great reviews, and it's probably one of my best sellers. After that, I was living in Hawaii at the time. Pardon me. And I was sitting outside looking across the water at the big island of Hawaii. And I was thinking about what a frightening experience it would be to be lost at sea. And all the kinds of thoughts and machinations one would go through if they were unable to be rescued.
Yeah.
And from that thought came a short story dealing with, you know, that kind of emotion. And from that time on, everything that started coming to me came out as poems or poetic prose or short stories. And I liken it back to, you know, that experience as a child of being exposed to a lot of different cultures and people. I believe that everybody has a God-given talent.
Yes.
And mine happens to be I'm very observant of visual and audio cues. So that people say, well, where do you get your story ideas from? I get it from observing, you know, my world and the people in my world and kind of eavesdropping on conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
And that gives me ideas for different stories. So most of my books after that are these fiction stories about situations that people get themselves in, again, as you said, choice and consequence, and they just started coming out, you know. So the next 18 books were just collections of short stories of real life situations where people make choices and then experience a consequence, good, bad, or ugly.
Yeah, yeah.
And what kind of growth then comes from, you know, that experience and its consequence.
That is awesome. And anyone that is listening, I want you guys to get in touch, get to Branch's site and purchase some of these books, because all of us are going through emotional situation. I'm sure that there's a book out there that he has written that is going to house some of the emotional piece that you're going into or in a part of. And maybe some of his wisdom, you can get some advice and some courage, because sometimes it takes a lot of guts and courage for us to make the decisions to help us to start turning that ship, if you will, by changing how we think and how we proceed from there. I love the fact that you put all the short stories. It's amazing how the mind gets ignited, and so that you can, from an ignited thought, develop a big story and a thesis out of that. And I love that type of thinking and that approach to life, because to me it's fun. It opens up a different world. I always tell people, because I had to study religions too, Branch. I studied all kinds of different religions. And it amazed me. I tell people how beautiful it is to have the Christian. I don't even want to say that word, as you said, a personal relationship with God is what I want to say. There are lots of Christians out there, but God is not interested in Christians. He's interested in the body of Christ. It's a totally different group of people. It's a more committed people. It's a different lifestyle, mentality, and all of those. As you started the story, they're Christian, the sea, and Christian, you were talking about the holidays, you know, Christmas and Easter, the C and E Christians. And there's hundreds of thousands of people like that are calling themselves Christians, but they are not practicing out of the policy and the kingdom of God, by which you can now look at that person and recognize that they are from that kingdom. But when someone is claimed to be a Christian and they're practicing their old habits or their old policies and procedures, you and I could look at that and say, and Jesus called them hypocrites. He says, you're going to know them by their fruit. How are they practicing their lifestyle accordingly, depending on which kingdom they're claiming to be a part of? So he comes and he says, look at how they're living, guys. There's a lot of people out there that are saying all kinds of crazy stuff. He even talked about there's going to come a point in time when people are going to come before him, says, I cast out demons in your name and all this kind of stuff. And he says, I don't know who you are. And people don't understand that the power is not in the person. The power is in the name, because the demons were bowing to the name of Jesus Christ, because the Bible tells us that at that name they bow. So the vessel who's using it, you better be careful of what you're talking about, because God said, Jesus said, he don't know who you are. So here you are. You're now producing and writing these books. I love how God, you are in an industry. I tell people, be mindful of all the things that you have learned and those jobs you've learned. When you are moved into your path, it will benefit you, because it did not go for waste. You were actually in some form of training. And so whereby you can extract ideas of how to publish books faster, how to move things, you will use those things. Trust me. Even if you're selling cars, you will use those principles to obtain you want in a different light when you put a different spin on what you're practicing. So talk to us about some of these books. I know you mentioned some, and that what made you go now from an author and started walking into the space of YouTube and all of the other things?
Well, you know, that's the technology we have at hand. So why not use it?
Yeah.
You know, I love what you just said. I was thinking as you were describing it, you know, we are all carpenters.
Yes.
In our lives. The Lord gives us, like you said, those tools and those cumulative experiences or skills for a reason.
Yeah.
And when we are ready to serve,
yes,
you know, the Lord in our lives, whatever that looks like for his design and purpose for us, then we can take those accumulated skills and tools in order to do our work.
Yes.
And you know, as you and I spoke earlier, we live in tumultuous times, to say the least. And for those of us who are trying to share the word that we know and understand and have been commissioned to share, there's no reason not to make use of the technology that's available, the internet, podcasting, all of these things, these tools that are, you know, at our disposal. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I got, you know, I had the website, and then we did a YouTube channel just in order to share selected works with those who are interested in, you know, their own growth as people, as family members, as parents, as seeking Christians. And so it's just a natural process to develop a website, develop a YouTube channel, and then now the podcasting. So I'm simply trying to make use of the technological tools in order to share, you know, what I've experienced, and share the fact that I'm not special. What the Lord has done in my life, he will do in your life as well. And your skill will be your tool on your path.
Yeah, I tell them people.
So we got to make use of the technology that's available.
I absolutely agree. I know. I always try to mention that. You know, what am I? People say, "What am I good at?" Well, trust me. He knows what you're good at. And he, all those jobs that you have, there are certain things out of there, habits, certain mentality, certain processes by which you will need and you will understand because it is familiar to you. I remember I was out, I was traveling with a teaching in the Caribbean islands several years ago, and God had me pray for this woman. And I put my hands on her head, and I began to pray for her, and he showed me a vision of her brains, because I understood electronics and the feel and all that stuff. And I'm looking at her, and I said to her, I had my eyes closed, and I wasn't really paying attention to the people, but I was just closing my eyes and trying to get directions from God as to, this is his child, isn't it? I, you know, I'm here as a vessel. And so I closed my eyes, Branch, and all I saw was an electrical feel, but with jumping and it wasn't getting across. And I looked at her and I says, oh, you're senile. And so I said that out straight out because I, you know, because to me, it made sense of what I was looking at, you know, and it was such a revelation to me. And I actually opened my eye and said it out loud to people, but it was, that statement was basically for me realizing what I was seeing. And sure enough, she was. And so prayed for her. She got healed. She got her right mind back. And so, but he uses everything to that you have used in your life. Everything. He will, the centurion soldier, the revelation that he got was because he was a centurion soldier. He said, I have men under my authority. All you have to do is speak the word. And so because of his field of study or business, he got that revelation accordingly. And each and every one of us, I believe that's how God speaks to us, because he knows that we're familiar with the principles within that field of study. And so he will come to you and I in that space. And that's the beautiful thing with him. He comes to us with and meet us where we are.
Yeah. When we are ready to surrender.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and take ourselves out of the focus, mm-hmm. and put that longing back where it is intended to be. When we reestablish that spiritual connection with God through Christ, and we've surrendered, you know, he smiles and his open arms embrace us. And like you said, you know, a lot of people wonder, well, what have I got? You know, mm-hmm. what skill have I got? What can I do? Well, when you surrender, he'll make use of that skill or tool. Until we will surrender to him, everything seems a jumble. You know, there doesn't seem to be a big connection other than, well, I did this, then I did this, then I did this.
Yeah.
But it's all in the surrender. When we're ready to surrender and walk that path, you know, side by side with him, then he allows us to see how each of those tools and each of those experiences actually fit together, mm-hmm. to make that picture clearer. So we know, okay, I'm on the right path. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, my wife always says to me, you know, you seem to be getting deeper and deeper. And I always say to her, if I'm on the right path, then things will progress in the way he wants them to be. Mm-hmm. If I somehow take a turn or get off the path, he's quick to make that situation not productive. Mm-hmm. So he's guiding the steps and he's directing my path. And the easier it gets to follow him, the more success and the more productive, you know, my efforts tend to be. So I know I'm headed in the right direction, and I don't ever have to worry that, gosh, do I want to do this or is this going to be a good idea?
Yeah.
You know, it's like the podcast realm. There's some podcasts that there's just a natural affinity to with the host in terms of their goal and their purpose. And there's other podcasts where, you know, you make connection, but there's something missing there.
Yeah.
And there's that, I don't want to call it a red flag, but there's just that, that synergy is not working well. And you think, well, you know, all the best, and but it's not for me kind of thing. We're not on the same wavelength.
Yeah,
so, you know, if you're wondering and searching as a listener, you know, just get on that path and he'll direct your steps. And as long as you are headed in the right direction, and that would be going towards him, then he'll make it easy to understand and keep proceeding in that direction. He wants us to do our work for him just as much as we want to.
I absolutely agree with you. And you made a statement earlier before that we do have to come to that place of surrender. And I try to explain, even Jesus had to come to that place. He was in this, if you remember, he was in this Garden of Gethsemane, and he was fighting pretty hard because he didn't want to do it. Because he knew what he had to do, because he got to a place where he was sweating blood. He didn't want to go do it. So, but then it tells us that he broke down and he says, okay, not my will, but thy will be done. And so we all have to come to that place of surrendering. Jesus did it. And everyone that wants to be a part of his, kingdom, we have to come to that place, because if he surrendered, you and I have to do the same. And he surrendered and he did the process by which he reclaimed all the things that was stolen from Adam's disobedience was reclaimed in Jesus's obedience. And so now he came out, he gave that to you and I so that you and I can walk by faith and do greater things than he. Branch, I want to thank you for coming by Threads of Enlightenment. This was a beautiful conversation. I've learned much, and I know that the listeners have learned much as well. And thank you so much, sir, for coming by and sharing your story, your wisdom. And I implore everyone to get in touch with him. Please get some of his books. Buy them as presents. Give it to people that are going through situations. He has short stories and that deals with emotional issues. Grab all of everything that he gets and he has put out so that you can learn how to be a better human spirit. Thank you so much for coming by, Brent.
Ken, thank you. I really appreciate your time today. And all the best to you and your listeners.
Oh, thank you so much, sir.
Everyone who's listening to this podcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves, often invisible to us, in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials to find out who you truly are and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you. But always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. You can do this by hitting the heart button. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more.